You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, May 12th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here. Start of the work week, back to school. Well, some colleges, not necessarily back to school. Big Badger graduation here in Madison over the weekend. Town filled with all kinds of families of grads. It was a beautiful day for graduation at Camp Randall and some of the indoor events for the graduate degrees, doctors and masters and whatnot. Beautiful day today here at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison on State Street. Zommers, how are you?
Doing well. It is a very nice day indeed.
Are you feeling better? Last week you were under the weather.
Yes, I
took
some time.
This weekend.
I was maybe going to go back to Manitowoc, visit my family, you know, Mother's Day and all that, but I just needed more time to sleep and sit around and recover, because whatever it was that got me the weekend before last really took me out.
You look better. You look and sound better after a weekend of rest. Good. I'm happy to hear that. Friday went down. A favorite youngest godson, Alexander, was in town to see his mom, and boy, I mean, she's Salvadoran. So there's Salvadorans, they always have Mother's Day on May 10th. So she got a twofer. She got a Salvadoran Mother's Day on the 10th, and she got a American Mother's Day on the 11th. She got a two. And she had Alex in town, so that was great. Met Alice Curtin Florsey down our friends down at Bailey's Run Winery, Vineyard Winery down in New Glarus. Beautiful day, great music, had some good fun, great time was had by all. Took in the farmer's market here on the Capitol Square on Saturday. That was good. Although, no, I was hunting for morel mushrooms on the Capitol Square. None to be had.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, but such is life. Got some rhubarb, though. And then headed up, went to Kopke's greenhouse. Our friends down at Kopke's greenhouse, just in the town of Dunn. I was told, because I keep saying Oregon, and I guess it's in the town of Dunn, just outside of the city of Oregon. So I went down. It was packed. They were doing great business down there at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn in Dane County. Got a few plants for mom, although I did not get the full array because it was just so busy. And so I got a few. Went up to Rachel and Center. We planted some plants. Hung. You know what mom wanted? I said, what do you want to do this weekend? And she was a little indignant. But she said, well, you know, I like to watch that Brewers movie you keep talking about, you know, because I just have been outside the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, of course, which we've talked about a lot. And it's streaming free right now at Roku and the Roku channel. All my talk, everything we've done around the movie, I hadn't sat and watched it with her. Oh. So we dialed up the Roku channel right there on Easiest Pie. And we watched that, and she gave it 2 thumbs up. She said, it's very well done, and think what a great gift that is for the families and all of us.
Yes, absolutely. I can't imagine anyone not liking the movie unless they hate fun and themselves and the world.
No, it's just Kelly Call, one of the producers, have said, I think Sean Hannish, producer, director, said it as well. They've seen it, whatever, 50 times, and this is my 6th or 7th, and you see something different every time. And it was just, this time it was really, really towards the end, the very end of the movie that really just, I don't know, it just got me. So it might be the Brewers games right now that are bringing some of us to tears. Brewers did not have a great weekend down at Tampa Bay. We'll try to get back on track against Cleveland. I believe the pregame show today is somewhere on or about 4:30 this afternoon. So be aware of that. And then Sunday, a little Lutheran church. And then we grilled up, had some steaks and whatnot, and just rhubarb pie. So beautiful day. Beautiful day. Very blessed to have mom here and spend time with her. And we laugh a lot. We laugh a lot. And here now, here's why. And mom, of course, comes first on Mother's Day. But here's why I really wanted to put out there. I'm planting some flowers at mom's original center. And our friends Brady and Brandon Ewing, who come on the show, we've said this before, our parents live a house apart in the neighborhood back home. And so I'm out working on flowers, and Brady and Brandon's dad, David's out doing some yard work, and we wave, and we end up talking, and he shares this fantastic and unexpected story of how he and his lovely wife, Andrea, Brady and Brandon's mom, met back in high school, and how she wasn't really interested at first, and he just was relentless and said, no, 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 I want to go, and she finally said, okay, fine. And here now they've been married 40 some odd years and still as much love today as they were back then. And it was an uplifting story. It was an unexpected story. I think it gives some of us hope that love can still exist and stay strong. But also the big takeaway for me was, this is what we all need to do in Wisconsin. Get outside and talk to our neighbors. Back when I was growing up, my grandparents had a front porch. And you'd sit out on the front porch at night and people would walk by. And, you know, that's kind of how you got the town gossip or what was going on. And you connected with people. And I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction, whether it was hanging out with my godson and his family on Friday, my mom, seeing Brady and Brandon's dad, David. When you talk to people in conversation, unexpected stories come up and it makes you feel better. We as humans need other humans. And in this Mental Health Awareness Month, it was just a great gift from David Ewing to remind me we need to connect with people. And talk to our neighbors, talk to our friends, because you'll just feel better after you get done doing it. So that was my big takeaway from the weekend.
You know, it's true. And I didn't do a whole lot of that this weekend besides my roommates, but
you were recovering.
I know a lot of the time, sometimes people ask me, hey, you want to go out to such and such restaurant or whatever? And I'm like, you know, it costs money. I'm tired. Sure. I just want to stay home. But whenever I just go, it ends up being fun, and right. I feel better and healthier for it and spending time with people I care about.
And so you're exactly right. And sometimes you don't even have to spend any money. Just get outside in your yard or on your stoop or walk around or whatever. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better after you've done it. Big show today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce will be here in studio. She represents the 26th Senate District, basically the majority of the Isthmus of Madison, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is on the Joint Finance Committee. The proper name is actually Committee on Joint Finance, but everybody calls it JFC. And she is going to be here talking about, of course, Republicans last week shot down like 600 items that was in Governor Tony Evers' proposed budget. And so Senator Royce is going to be here kind of telling us what Democrats want to put in this budget, some of the things that they obviously don't agree with Republicans, but also walk us through the details a little bit, because I think most Wisconsinites don't quite understand how budgets are put together. And this is really important because it's our tax money, as it turns out, that they're talking about. So Senator Royce, and she's just a great person to chat with as well. So she'll be here at 2:30. At 3:06, what's worse, pointing out weight loss or not pointing out weight loss? That is the question in hour number two. And then Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch will be here at 3:35 today to take a look at some of the weekend happenings a little bit in Wisconsin news and what's coming up as well at Wisconsin Watch. So a full jam-packed show today. I thought we'd start with this. I watched my morning news programs this morning, and at least on some of them, this story was downplayed like I've never seen. And look, I understand there are bigger stories in terms of the Constitution and things like this. But I think this story, to me, points out in real terms, and I really want to use a word I'm not supposed to say on the air. And Zomers is looking at me. Don't worry, I'm not going to. you know, I'll tell you, for instance, if we had Dick Van Dyke here on the show, would that be something? And we said, well, Mr. Van, here, Dick Van Dyke, I can say that. If I had Richard Smith here, I can say, here's Richard Smith. I can't just use the nickname for Richard in and of itself for describing someone. But that's what I want to do.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
And here, because here's the thing. It occurred to me when the story broke over the weekend on Trump. He's getting a new plane. That's where I'm going. And we all know the guy, right? And it's usually a guy. We all know the guy in our hometown or in our life that we've come across. And he puts all of his extra money, or money he probably shouldn't, into his truck or into his car or into his bike. And then his kids are running around the neighborhood in rags, or you know, the lawn looks a mess. Anyway, and you think, boy, that guy is just a blank. And is jerk. And like, how could he be so self-centered to let his family and his wife or whatever not give them what the basics of what they needed? He puts his money into his truck or into his car, and that's his life. Just what an A number one jerk. And so I think this story, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democratic, this story to me says that about Trump. ABC News broke this over the weekend. I'll read from this to start with. And what may be the most valuable gift ever extended to the United States from a foreign government, the Trump administration is preparing to accept a super luxury Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar. Now, some people say gutter. I mean, anyway, it's Qatar. Q-A-T-A-R. Whatever. A gift that is to be available for use by President Donald Trump as the new Air Force One until shortly before he leaves office, at which time ownership of the plane will be transferred to the Trump Presidential Library Foundation, according to sources familiar with the proposed arrangement told ABC News. The gift had been expected to be announced this coming week, when Trump visits Qatar on the first foreign trip of his second term, according to sources. But a senior White House official said the gift will not be presented or gifted while the president is in Qatar this week. So here's what and now we're going to play a cut, Trump's reaction. They've confirmed this. So not to get too far into the weeds, but Air Force One, which is the call signal when the president is on any aircraft or any plane. But it's a 747-8 is what the United States has, or two 747s. I'm not sure what the current model is. And they're like, you know, going on 30 years old. So during Trump's first administration, the government ordered two replacements from Boeing, because there's always two in case the other one fails or whatever. And Trump wanted, remember, he wanted to change the colors from what Jackie Kennedy had, the iconic robin egg blue, to basically the same livery or paint job as Trump's private plane. Well, when Biden came in, he said, no, and there was actually a mechanical reason. The engineers said that darker color on the underside would actually endanger the aircraft. And so that's why so now that Trump is back in, it's too late to change some of this stuff. So apparently now the Qatar government is going to give him a souped up gold etched whatever palace in the sky plane. $400 million that Trump gets to keep. I'll explain when we come back, not to mention the security risks. I mean, it's a Dick Van Dyke edition. It's Monday, May 12th, 2025. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Donald Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Monday, May 12th, 2025. Zommers on the board. Dial on a board. You dial up there, Zommers.
Jet Airliner by the Steve Miller Band.
Nicely done.
Maybe a bit on the nose.
But. Yeah, I like it. Talking about, so here's the deal. Over the weekend, ABC News broke this. It's been confirmed that Qatar in the Middle East is going to gift Donald Trump a $400 million jumbo jet to use as his Air Force One because he's salty about the fact that the new Air Force Ones, the pair that were ordered several years ago, are behind schedule and that he won't be able to use them too long before he leaves office, assuming that somehow he doesn't end up in a third term. And so he wanted a nicer plane. So the Qataris have said, well, hey, we got one lying around our palace, as one does. So here's a $400 million. They're calling it a palace in the sky. Much nicer accoutrements, appointments, than the current Air Force One. But they're only giving him one plane. And Trump wants it in use this year, like ASAP. Now, there's all kinds of things. We just heard the democracy, what's it called? Democracy Minute? Yeah.
Yeah, American Democracy Minute.
Thank you. I didn't know they were going to do that. Serendipity there during the commercial. They explained this very well. And so there's all kinds of questions about the emoluments clause and whether Trump, Pam Bondi, the Bondi girl, Pam Bondi has said, no, Mr. President, anything you want, you can do this. It doesn't violate. Because here's the argument they're making. They're saying that the Qatari government is gifting this to the U.S. government, not to Trump. But then, by January of 2029, the plane will go to Trump's Presidential Library Foundation for him to use after he leaves office. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times writing a piece, bringing up again, not very many people are talking about, the security factors in this. Of course, there's no chance that the Qatari government or anybody else would put bugs in a plane like that and be lit. Here's the deal. The president of the United States isn't even allowed to fly on a helicopter of another government, even like when he goes to France or the UK. They take their own Marine One. They take their own transportation. This is a huge security risk for the United States of America, for American intelligence. But, of course, it's all about, quote-unquote, Trump. And speaking of Pam Bondi, the attorney general, remember this. She was Qatar's hired gun. She was raking in $115,000 a month as recently as 2020 to lobby for the regime. And she just greenlit the deal for the, quote-unquote, gift of $400 million for a jet. Kashmir Patel, Trump's FBI director nominee, let's look at him. Guess what? Was on Qatar's payroll until November of 2024, months ago. Pocketing cash for, quote-unquote, consulting. Didn't bother registering under the FARA. Shocker. I mean, these people, again, if you want proof that this guy is a jerk. Remember, this is our tax, because the United States government is going to have to pay for this plane to be retrofitted to try to upgrade it to the security level for Trump, which experts say there's no way it can be. And we're paying when it gets transferred into Trump's presidential library for him to use it for his personal use. And just out of coincidence, Trump's going to Qatar this week. I mean, there's no shades of quid pro quo here, right? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, I may have jumped the gun. I just don't understand how, when it's written in the Constitution, the emoluments clause, he should not be receiving any kind of gift or money, gifts of planes, boats, whatever, from a foreign government. And I don't understand how they are being allowed to let him twist this into a way that he can accept it.
Right.
If it's given to the American people, then it should not go to his private.
It shouldn't go to him personally, Allie. You're absolutely right about that. But again, this is why we were talking about during the nomination process. When you fire people who want to uphold the Constitution and install yes, men and women, there's nobody that's going to stop you. 855-752-4842. Charles in Milwaukee on AUK. Charles, if you can keep it brief, please. Go ahead.
Yep. Hey, Todd. Yeah, first of all, they're all shady people. And my point I was calling for, when this story first broke last week, they had no idea what the media was talking about. It was fake news. Now, all of a sudden, here we go, and this is really going to happen. Kind of just like with Project 2025, yeah. How Trump knew nothing about it, and his whole administration has mainly been about the things that were written in Project 2025.
Yep. So, appreciate the call, Charles. Yeah. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe listening to WMDX in Madison. Joe, I'm up against the clock, and I got Senator Royce next. Got 45 seconds. It's yours.
Yeah, but if you didn't want to say Dick Van Dyke, another name you could use is Richard Cranium.
Yes.
I've heard people use, and that sort of fits it. I would encourage people to take a look at a Newsweek article from last week in April. It mentions the fact that prior to getting this plane, there's a new golf resort that is being put forth by the Trump Organization, headed by Eric Trump, and that precedes this whole thing about the plane. It's a $5.5 billion beachside project located in Qatar. And then, golly, just a little bit later, you get a plane.
Yep. Bingo, Joe. You nailed it, as you always do. Thank you. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. Senator Kelda Royce is in studio next, talking about the Wisconsin state budget. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. I use a typewriter occasionally still, once in a while. But you know her. She's been on the program before. She is a graduate at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is a state senator representing the 26th district here in Madison. What you might not have known, she's a Swiftie. That's right. So directly from Senator Kelda Royce's Spotify playlist. Senator, I had no idea. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Is this just you personally or the kids?
You know, I'm a little older than, so I didn't grow up with Taylor Swift, but my kids kind of got me into it. And now I'm, you know, fully there.
I love her. I think she's fantastic.
She's a wonderful
I admire her as just pure artist and talent. I also admire, and I think she's a great role model, particularly for young women who just said in a male dominated world, I'm not going to take this crap, and has been a leader.
Absolutely. And as a musician, you know, she provides a lot of joy to our house.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Which is we need these days.
We need a lot of joy.
We sure do.
We appreciate you stopping by the world headquarters here on State Street. Lots going on. You are a member of the Joint Finance Committee, JFC, or joint. What the official title is Committee on Joint Finance. Everybody calls it JFC. Explain. Let's just take a moment to explain the process here of the state budget. Happens every other year, thus biennial budget. Governor went first. He put out his budget, and last week Republicans slashed whatever 600 of those things or so. But let's stop for a minute and explain to folks across the state what this process is and what it does, please.
Sure. So every 2 years, we're supposed to pass a state budget, and that's everything from funding for local governments, schools, taxes, roads, you know, all the public services that we rely on. And the governor presents the executive budget, and then the legislature is supposed to grapple with that and make changes, make alterations, and then pass it. That hasn't happened since the current governor's been in office, because we've had divided government. And what the Republicans have essentially done is they've held these kind of sham public hearings where people wait for hours and hours to testify. And we hear from thousands of people across the state, and then the Republicans just kind of pretend they didn't hear it and throw what the governor did in the garbage. And they passed their own budget with no compromise or discussion or interaction from the Democrats.
And this is the as you said, in years past, I mean, I guess they kind of still did it to a degree, invite the public to come in and testify.
Right.
You write the budget, and then you go kind of agency by agency. So in the next few weeks, some people are going to be like, why are these guys taking so long to meet? It's because it takes a long time to go through agency by agency. There's a guy that people on this show, you've heard me talk about before, Bob Lang, who is the head of the Fiscal Bureau.
He knows everything about the state budget, where all of our money goes. Where it comes from, he is an incredible treasure.
Is it fair to say Bob Lang may be one of the handful of people in the state of Wisconsin where people on both sides say, well, if Bob says it, it has to be right?
Yes.
That's how much respect he has.
Yes.
And his staff, I might add.
Yes. And it is well earned.
Yeah.
And, you know, at a time when I think there's a huge divide. And a lot of people don't trust, government or don't trust anything that somebody outside of their tribe says. It's really important to have people like that.
So you folks are writing a state budget for the next 2 years. Last time I checked, Wisconsin has over a $4 billion with a B surplus. Is that still the case as you move into this process?
It is sort of, though, Todd, because here's the situation. We've had so much chaos and corruption and incompetence from Republicans in Washington. They're, setting the world economy on fire with things like tariffs, with mass layoffs, so much uncertainty. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we're feeling it, right? Our farmers are not going to get paid for crops that they've contracted to. Researchers are getting fired. People who, were going to go to college are not anymore. So all of that stuff is having a negative impact on our economy. And so we don't know what is going to happen with our tax revenues, but it's not going to be good. They're also contemplating massive cuts to the federal budget. And of course, nearly a third of our state budget dollars come straight from the feds. So that would be devastating for us. There's a lot unknown.
There is a great story in Wispolitics today, and it comes from this interview over the weekend on WISN Channel 12's Upfront. Over the weekend, the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee, for those that don't know, it's divided up between Assembly and Senate. The Assembly co-chair, Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam, was on, as well as our old friend, I say that a bit sarcastically, Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green on the other side. And they were talking about these cuts to Medicaid, specifically these federal cuts, Senator. And Representative Bourne was quoted as saying, quote, "I'm not overly concerned about it," unquote. That doesn't seem very responsible to me.
Oh, I think that's horrifying. I mean, Medicaid, Badger Care, covers one out of every three births in the state, one out of every two nursing home beds, and is probably one of the most important workforce programs we have in the state, right? The vast majority of adults who are on Badger Care are working, but we're talking about people who are the working poor, right? These are child care workers. These are service workers. They're the people who work in restaurants, clean the office after you go home. If we take away Badger Care, if we cut Medicaid, or the Republicans in Washington do, these people will have nowhere to turn. They will be going to the emergency room for their primary care. Their health will get worse. They will have to drop out of the workforce. And guess what? All of our insurance premiums are going to go way up. And hospitals are going to close across the state, just like we've seen in Chippewa Falls, because Wisconsin's been so behind the times on expanding access to health care. So this is a catastrophe.
And to go back to budget, Fiscal Bureau Director Lang, I saw him on Channel 3 here in Madison, the CBS affiliate, over the weekend doing an interview confirming, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Director Lang said 20% of Wisconsinites are on some form of Medicaid.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
So again, and last time I checked, Medicaid people, it doesn't just affect one party or the other. There are Republicans, Democrats, Independents. I mean, this affects
in every part of the state,
and
especially, in rural communities, right, where there aren't a ton of economic opportunities and jobs that have benefits, that have health insurance. One in three kids in the state.
So when I hear, and the reason I say old friend is because listeners of the show know I was a Republican until 2011 when I left the party, and Howard Markline is a person that I actually, in the very first race, went door-to-door for, and he's been nothing but a huge disappointment ever since. And the thing is, Howard likes to talk about being a CPA. He knows better. I watched him screw over the University of Wisconsin, Richland, say, well, there's nothing I can do. He's the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
I mean, if he can't do it, then who the heck can?
Exactly. And now here, Senator Markline says, of this current situation, quote, "We don't know what's going to happen yet," unquote. I mean, that just seems completely unbelievable and irresponsible, Senator Royce.
I totally agree. I mean, there's a lot that we can do. You know, one of the first things that Democrats did is we circulated a letter when Republicans were talking at the federal level about cutting Badger Care. And we said, you cannot do this. This will devastate our communities. It's going to hurt our economy. And yet my Republican colleagues, they were invited to join us. They won't say a word. They're not even advocating for their own constituents to keep the health care that they already have. You know, I don't understand the not just the cruelty of not caring whether people live or die and have health care, but don't you care about the economy? Don't you care about the impact it's going to have on our small businesses and on our communities when all these people lose access to health care? It's going to be bad.
And we won't get into this now, but with the new map, Senator Mark Klein has a brand new district that I think is not as comfortable for him to get reelected.
That's right.
You think for his own personal preservation, he might be interested in this.
Yeah, but you know, Republicans, politicians seem totally impervious to caring about what voters actually want. And we see that again and again.
We're talking to State Senator Kelda Royce. She represents Wisconsin's 26th Senate District here in the greater Madison area. She is a member of the Joint Committee on Finance talking about the state budget. All right, Senator Royce, I could sit here and go on about my former party. I do quite a bit. But what I'm interested in, because I don't hear this, at least when I travel the state, whether I was just down in New Glarus this weekend, I was in Richland Center, I'm going to Green Bay next weekend, Shawano. I think that what a lot of Wisconsinites are, whether it's me talking every day or whatever, quit grousing and tell us something positive. What is it that Senate Democrats are offering as an alternative? As my former boss, Scott Kluge, used to say, if you ruled the world, I'll change it. If you guys were in the majority, what would you like to see in this budget?
We are relentlessly focused on lowering costs for families all across Wisconsin. So when you think about the big ticket items, housing, healthcare, prescription drugs, child care, right? Groceries. These are all things that aren't really optional, right? They're necessities. And yet those costs have been rising incredibly fast. Utility bills, right? Even faster than inflation, which has been, you know, pretty high for the last couple of years. And, you know, I understood that was kind of had been the promise of Republicans that they were going to be focused on that. And yet the first time that they get power, what do? They don't care about that. They're just implementing these crazy, unpredictable policies that are making costs rise even higher. Like if you're going to have a baby and all of a sudden your stroller costs 2.5 times as much as it did a month ago, that's insane. So Democrats are really going to be focused on lowering costs on those core big ticket items. The other thing is, you know, what we heard in my travels all around the state, people want to see our public schools funded. They know that schools are the lifeblood of our community. Our kids deserve the resources to not just survive, but to thrive and get a great public education that prepares them to do whatever they want to do, to achieve whatever they want to in the world. They deserve that. And yet in a whole generation, 15 years, our kids have not even gotten an inflationary increase in public schools with Republicans in charge.
And that's something, you know, I'm very passionate about K-12 and our university mm-hmm. public schools. I just think that the lack of investment, and again, this goes back to my former party when former Governor Tommy Thompson made the promise, we're going to fund 2/3 of public schools. Republicans were the ones that defunded that below the 2/3. Is it back up there? Is it close? But it still hasn't kept up with the rate of inflation, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like kids who are graduating, my stepdaughter is graduating from college this week. So proud of her. But, you know, since she was in kindergarten, these kids did not get an inflationary increase. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really shameful. What is the point of state government and guaranteeing kids a free quality public education in our Constitution, as we do here in Wisconsin, if the politicians in charge won't fund it?
And here's my argument, Senator Royce, is that even if the general electorate or even your Republican colleagues don't care about schools in quote unquote Democratic districts, think of yourself. I mean, we continue to have a record number of K-12 referendums for local taxpayers to have to make up for what Republican legislators don't do in Madison. I would think that a Republican voter in Wisconsin would be ticked off at their representative or senator for putting the screws back to them.
And we've heard that again and again. But, you know, voters have overwhelmingly approved these referendums because they want their public schools funded. But boy, does it burn to know that the money is sitting there at the state and the Republicans won't give it. And as a result, your own property taxes are going up. So I say, you know, people who are angry about their property tax bill, you have every right to be. We shouldn't be pitting property taxpayers against school kids. That's outrageous. Yeah. We communities need to come together, and it's Republicans splitting them apart because they're not doing their job.
Time always goes too fast. We'll be respectful of your time. About 90 seconds left. Senator's choice. I'll put it that way. But is there, I'll ask this. take it wherever you want. Is there hope that there is some sort of bipartisanship that you can work with some of your colleagues to get some of these things implemented?
You know, I think the hope is that there's tremendous unity among the voters of the state, right? We didn't hear people, literally no one, asked for, hey, let's get a big tax cut for the wealthy, because Wisconsin already has one of the lowest tax brackets for the wealthy and, you know, big corporations. Nobody asked for that. People in every part of the state, red, blue, purple, want the same things. They want to see investments in childcare, so the costs go down. They want to see health care and Medicaid supported. They want to see our public schools funded. And all we need is for the Republican politicians to take that hand that Democrats are extending and say, hey, let's do something right for our constituents that they want.
Senator Kellner Royce, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Stop by anytime as this process continues on.
Good to be with
you. And put a little, you know, why you got to be so mean on for Howard up there?
You know? There you
that's,
go, yeah.
That's what you need. All right, come on back. We'll have some fun in your phone calls after this. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Why you gotta be so mean?
Going off my request to State Senator Howard Markle, I'm in Spring Green this afternoon. Senator, why you gotta be so mean? Many thanks to Senator Kellner Royce, who is not mean. She's fantastic and talented. Appreciate her stopping by, talking about the Joint Finance Committee. Here's the thing, Todd will say, well, Todd, you're being mean. You're being disrespectful. You're picking on Senator Markle. No. I wish that he, because I've said, he's not a dumb person. He's a very intelligent guy. He's a certified public accountant. And that's what frustrates me so much. And I feel I've earned the right to be hard on Senator Markle, because guess what? I went door to door for him and campaigned and helped him get elected to the state assembly. And he is represents little, if anything, in his current form for the guy I went and campaigned for. So the fact that I helped him get elected, I think, gives me the right, if you will, to criticize him and be pretty hard. And it's what irritates me is that I know that he knows what's up. And the fact that he, this wink of the nod, the aw shucks guy, I'm just from rural Wisconsin. I mean, here's his line from WISN Channel 12's Upfront this weekend. Quote, "We don't know what's going to happen yet. I mean, Mark," meaning the other co-chair, Representative Mark Bourne, "Mark and I don't have any inside information as to what's going on in D.C. We're going to just wait and see. We've always based our budget decisions on the best available information, and that includes new collection, tax collection projects, projections next week," unquote. Senator Markle, one of your former colleagues, Glenn Grothman, is now a United States congressman. Scott Fitzgerald, who was the Senate Majority Leader when Howard, when they were in the Senate together, is now a United States congressman. Tom Tiffany, who is in the state Senate with Howard, is now a United States congressman. If Howard Markle can't get any sort of an inside track from those three to Washington, then we have real problems going on. It's completely disingenuous, and I would call out the Democrats if it was the same thing. So the reason I'm salty on Howard Markle is that I know him well enough to know he's a person of at least, you know, educational intelligence. He is a certified public accountant. He understands budgets fully, and he is one of the most powerful people in Wisconsin. The Joint Finance co-chairs are two of the most powerful people in Wisconsin. And oh, Tony Kurtz, state representative from out in Southwest Wisconsin, who is also on the Joint Finance Committee, guess what he's having? Here, let me get the date right in case you want to go. Da, 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 da. It's tonight. Five until, Azamar, are you doing anything tonight? Five until seven tonight, Tony Kurtz is having a fundraiser during the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Oh, Now, I'm not sure if anybody's going to show up with a plane for Representative Kurtz. This is something I think should be outlawed. I don't think that if you serve, Democrat, Republican, Senator, or Assembly person, if you serve on the Joint Finance Committee, you should not be allowed to fundraise during the Joint Finance Budget process. Period. Period. End of story. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's the numbers?
You've also offered for Senator Mark Lyon and Tony Kurtz to come and clear the air and tell their side of the story.
I have.
And you know they know because you've talked to them in person, not just said over the airwaves, but talked to them in person and said, hey, you want to come on the show and talk about this? And it's like,
Last time was in Richland Center when Howard was there to talk to our friend Phil Nee at WRCO. I said, Senator, you want to come down the hall and be on our show? We'll bump anything else. We'll put you right on. And I said, Howard, I just want to give you the chance to have a conversation. And he looked at his watch. He goes, I think I got another engagement afterwards. I said, okay, door's always open. Let's go quickly, 855-752-4842, Los Angeles, California. L.A. Tom's listening. L.A., what have you got?
Well, first off, Todd, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, we must get all money out of politics. So I recommend everyone go to getmoneyout.net or getmoneyoutofpolitics.us. What I want to say, too, is that, you know, when you want to describe Donald Trump, just describe him as waste, fraud, and abuse. He's all three. And the thing I want to tell the Roy, I hope she's still listening, but the Democrats need to come up with an easy type of, I think it's a homophone, I'm not sure, but CHTR or CHTM.
LA is in La La Land.
Rent or mortgage. And then I did some research on an average household in Wisconsin. They pay $16,000 each of those indices per year, and that's on a low end. Now, if you're looking at that, you're looking at $64,000 a household has to make in order to survive. Tell me, Republicans and Democratic people out there, how the hell is an average person supposed to make it when they aren't making $64,000 a year for the basic needs that they may have?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, L.A. We'll see if we have time to get into it in hour two. To L.A.'s point, I mean, it's kind of connected. There was a major fire in Milwaukee over the weekend, a tragedy. I think the death toll is now at 5 people. Another 3 are critically injured. There were dozens, if not going on hundreds, that were displaced. A 4-story apartment building. And the Milwaukee fire chief came out really strongly over the weekend. Because the place was built in the late 60s before the laws changed, so there was no sprinkler system. And to Elliot's point, if you only have a certain income and you're working, you're not sitting around, you can only afford to live in certain places. And those places oftentimes are some of the most dangerous, and our hearts go out to those families that lost loved ones in Milwaukee over the weekend. Come on back. We will have more in hour number two, including what's worse. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.